A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Rosh Hashanah Chaf Dalid Amud Aleph 24a, pagination page 47, towards the bottom of the Amud, about six lines up, a new Mishnah in the middle of a line, a famous piece of information about the great Rabbi Gamliel, which has enormous ramifications in terms of halacha of pictures. Demus tzuros levana hayu lo l'Rabbi Gamliel betavla ubekosel ba'aliyaso. Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Av Beis Din, he was in charge of the court to decide whether it was really the new moon that the Edim, the witnesses, were claiming to have seen. So he had pictures, diagrams, forms of what the new moon might look like, or perhaps what it might not look like, so that they could, these witnesses can pull it out of the lineup and point to it and say exactly what it is that they think they saw. Shebohen Mares Hajotos, through that he can show the amateurs, V'omer, and he would say to them, Hakaze Ra'isa Ikez'okaze. Did you see like this? Did you see like that? And like this, they would be able to give him the feedback instead of giving him this description that they don't even know how to describe. And he was able to tell what it was they were describing, and then the Beis Din would decide if they saw the new moon. It opens up a very beautiful concept that you could have a very ordinary Jew, not proficient in astronomy, not proficient in halacha. He's a regular, ordinary Jew, but he saw it. And he comes to Beis Din, and they would award him all the attention in the world to the point that they actually made up these diagrams so that if he doesn't know the lingo and he can't describe it, he should be able to. It opens up for us, though, a fascinating discussion if you are allowed to have pictures of the moon. Asks the Gemara, Umi Shari, you're allowed to do such a thing. Vaksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, Lo sa'asun iti, you should not make with me, Lo sa'asun kidmus shimushai, which we understand to mean that you're not allowed to compete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. And just like some people would make idols that they would actually worship, there's certain forms that you're not allowed to even make the form. How could Rabbi Gamliel do this? The Gemara on Amud Beis, if you'll turn over, I'll skip a lot of the discussion and considerations, but if you count up from the wide lines, about five lines, the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Shaini Rabban Gamliel, da'acherim asulo. Rabbi Gamliel is different. He didn't make these forms on his own. He had a non-Jew make them for him. And since they're not being made for idol worship, they're really not. It's just a question of whether the extreme standard of the Jews, that you're not allowed to even make a moon. So on that, a non-Jew is not commanded. A non-Jew is not allowed to make an idol, but to make a moon, that's not a problem. Tosfos explores the problem that whenever we're not allowed to do something, we're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it either. And Tosfos says, Hacha lo gozo misho mitzvah. Since it was a mitzvah application, we find that the Gezeirah d'Rabbanon doesn't apply in lots of cases. That's the whole thing of Amira la'akum on Shabbos. Right? We're not allowed to do it, so how can you ask a non-Jew to do it? The answer is, if it's something compelling, it's a health issue, it's a mitzvah issue, it's causing you a lot of aggravation, different cases that we could find a loophole to have a non-Jew do it, perhaps by a derabbanon of a non-Jew doing it, whatever it is, there is some degree of leniency, and that's the loophole that Rabbi Gamliel found, since he's not doing it for idol worship. It's just a prohibition, and that prohibition is only on Jews. So he had a non-Jew do it for him. Okay. The Gemara continues and tells us that there's still a problem of cheshad. Cheshad means that other people who see you in possession of this icon will think that maybe some idol worship is going on. And therefore, you're not allowed to own it, even though you're not worshiping it, and even though you're not the one who made it. We like got Rav Gamliel in a corner here. How do you explain your behavior, so to speak, right? I mean, we know Rav Gamliel had a cheshbon, but what was his cheshbon? The Gemara answers four lines up, towards the end of the line, Rabim Shaini. When it's a group of people, it has a different rule, because we're all doing it, and we all know that no one's worshipping idols. We all know that. And therefore, there was a case here that was mentioned about Rav and Shmuel attending a certain shul, and because it was a group of people, there was no problem of cheshad. As long as there was no idol worship going on, it's fine. You don't have to worry about cheshad. Asks the Gemara, that's a very nice answer. But Tahar Rabbi Gamliel Yachidhu. But Rabbi Gamliel is an individual. This was his private study. So I understand if it's a lot of people, there's no cheshad. But Rabbi Gamliel should be assessed as an individual. He's a very great man, but he's an individual. Answers the Gemara, Kevon, the Nasi who Shechichi Rabim Gabe. Since he was the Nasi, he was the prince, so everybody was coming and going by him. It was a revolving door, and therefore it has the status of Rabim. And this is answer number one. It was a public place. Public place of Jews, you don't have to worry about cheshad, you only have to worry about you fashioning it. I didn't fashion it. I got a guy to fashion it. And that would be one approach. V'ibayaseima, and there's another possibility here, deprokim hava, that the moon was made out of pieces. And he would piece them together like a puzzle. It wasn't a form of a moon. It was pieced together. And that was the leniency that Rabbi Gamliel relied on. He didn't create a moon. Says the Gemara, one more step. V'iba yaseima, and if you want, we can answer, lehislamed ovad. He was making it for education. And education is different. We have a rule, dechsiv lo silmad la'asos. You're not allowed to learn to do avodah zorah. But you're allowed to learn about Avodah Zorah in order to paskin shailus. You have to know what is in fact the way to serve Markulis. If we're going to paskin a shaila about it, I have to know what it is. So you might have to do some research. You're not allowed to do research. There's a iser, lo sasuru, and lo silmad to start delving into Avodah Zorah and finding out what it's all about. But if I'm trying to paskin a shayla, I'm trying to lehislami, to learn, so then that was okay. I mentioned that this shayla comes up, and it does quite a bit in the terms of pictures. Take a look at Taisvis. It's on the second wide line towards the bottom of the page. V'habra megamli al yachid. Tema. Taisvis has a wonderment. The pictures of Rami Gamliel were not three-dimensional. They were pictures. So what are you worried about? He doesn't understand. I understand if there's an icon, it's a three-dimensional, it's a form. It's not jutting out, it's a picture.
So we just said there were pieces put together.
Right, so if you go with the pieces, so perhaps, but even then it could be pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. But Taisus is going because until now we were talking that something has to be boletus, it has to stick out in order to be envisioned as something that they might have worshipped, that someone's going to worry about you. V'yesh lomar, Taisus answers, the mikoma kom shayich bechashada, there's chashad. The gabe levono ein chiluk, when it comes to the moon and other, the sun, the stars,
celestial
bodies, because our perception of them is not three-dimensional. Our perception of them is just like a picture. That's the way we see it. And therefore, the Avodah Zorach Shad of such an item is the way people see it. And therefore, Tosfos says that just drawing a picture of the moon, of the sun, of the stars, would be a violation. Right? Chshad. What's going on with you? The question, of course, is general pictures. Are you allowed to have a sun in the picture? And particularly, Parshas Vayeshev, with Yosef's dreams, sun, moon, and stars are the Parsha sheets. Allowed to have sun, moon, and stars on them. Or is there an actual prohibition for Jews to go ahead and do that? Now, there are a number of approaches here. One of the approaches is that the sun, moon, and stars on a child's Parsha sheet is not a picture of the sun, moon, and stars. It's a symbolic scribble that reminds us, it's a universal symbol to remind you of the sun, moon, and stars. But it itself is not sun, moon, and stars. No one looks at that and says, ah, nice picture of a star. It reminds you. You make a star with those points, and everybody knows it means a star. A sun, no one's enraptured with your sun. It's you make those rays, and everybody knows you mean the sun. Artists do, in fact, go ahead, and many of the from artists who are knowledgeable about this, if they're drawing a sun, they will purposely make the sun at the corner so that they're not making the full sun. And they will draw it beautifully. I mean, you could feel the radiance, perhaps, but they purposely make it that it's coming at the edge, at the corner, and that part of it is not even visible. So, just to get us started on these basic principles, this was the caution with Rabbi Gamliel, that there's actually a prohibition of some sort. We could discuss Doraisa, Derabonon, how far to extend it, but the Gemara proposes a number of solutions as to how Rabbi Gamliel managed to have these pictures of Lavana, of the moon, in order that he could effectively cross-examine the witnesses and paskin Kiddush HaChodesh, even from a witness who was not an expert in the field. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.